You know, if you thought being a liquidity provider in decentralized finance was a simple transaction, like you deposit tokens, you earn some fees.
A set it and forget it kind of thing.
Exactly. Then you've only been playing the basic mode. Today, we are accelerating you straight to expert
We
level.
really are.
We're diving into incentive optimization and, maybe more importantly, governance participation in some of the most dominant V token protocols out there. We're talking about models pioneered by projects like Curve, Aerodrome, and Velodrome.
That's absolutely right. And the whole premise of this deep dive is that in these systems, providing liquidity, it's fundamentally transformed.
How so?
It's no longer just a passive deposit. You're actually turning that capital into what the sources correctly term a political asset. You're acquiring voting power, and you have to wield it strategically to really win.
And our mission here is to give you, the listener, the shortcut. We're going to unpack the necessary components, the specific math and the actionable framework to move from earning basic LP returns to really maximizing those yields.
It's all about engaging directly in the protocol's governance game.
Exactly. We're going to show you how to capture those highly optimized returns without getting buried under a mountain of technical jargon. Okay, let's start with the foundation. The core structure, we hear this term V3 architecture thrown around all the time.
All the time.
Before we list out the parts, why? Why did these protocols adopt such a complex mechanism in the first place? I mean, wasn't simple yield farming good enough?
Well, it turns out no. Simple yield farming had a huge problem. Mercenary capital.
Right, people just jumping from farm to farm.
Exactly. People would rush in, farm the tokens with the highest APY, dump them on the market immediately, and just move on. It created a massive instability for the protocols.
So the V token model, V is for vote escrowed, right?
Correct. It was designed specifically to solve that by forcing commitment. It's a structural way to incentivize loyalty.
That makes a lot of sense. So this whole architecture, it boils down to what? Four key parts?
Precisely. Four critical components working in a virtuous cycle. First, you have the standard governance token, think AERO or CRV.
Okay.
Second, you have the vote escrowed token, so VAERO. That's what you get when you lock up the governance token.
Got it.
Third is the gauge system, and that's just a fancy name for the liquidity pools that are eligible to receive the weekly emission rewards.
And the fourth piece is where the real magic happens, I think, the bribe market.
That's the one. That's where external protocols or, even individuals pay V token holders for their votes.
You mentioned V33. Can you just quickly touch on what that means, the game theory part of it?
Sure. It just implies that cooperating, so locking your tokens and voting for the collective good of the protocol, yields the highest possible reward for everyone involved.
And defecting.
Defecting or acting selfishly is penalized. The whole structure is designed to make cooperation the only truly rational financial choice.
So it's a loyalty program where the most committed players get the biggest slice of the pie.
Okay, walk us through the step by step. How do you go from providing capital to wielding that political power?
The first two steps are what most people already know. You provide liquidity to a pool, and you stake the LP tokens you get back into the gauge.
And that gets you your base emissions and trading fees, standard stuff.
Standard stuff. But step three is the gateway to optimization. You have to lock your governance tokens, let's say AEO, to receive VERO in return.
And this is the point we really, really have to hammer home. The duration of that lock is, well, it's everything.
This is the single most defining factor. The sources give us a formula for it. Voting power equals the locked amount multiplied by the ratio of your lock duration to the maximum duration.
So if the max lock is 4 years.
If the max is 4 years, locking your tokens for the full 4 years gives you a voting power four times greater than someone who locks the exact same amount for just 1 year. It's a direct financial incentive to become a long-term stakeholder. It's like having a seniority badge. The longer you commit, the louder your voice.
Perfectly put. And once you have that V token, step four is just using it. You vote for specific pools, and that's what unlocks the full yield triad: emissions, fees, and most importantly, the bribes.
Okay, here's where things get really interesting. Where DeFi mechanics start to feel more like, I don't know, political science, the bribe market.
Right.
Why on earth is it financially sound for some external protocol to just pay people to vote for them? Doesn't that just feel like rent seeking?
It might feel that way, but it's actually a very sophisticated form of incentive engineering. From the perspective of the protocols paying the bribe, it's a pure business decision.
A business decision, how?
They need liquidity for their own tokens, right?
Right.
And attracting that liquidity by offering a bribe to V token holders is often significantly cheaper.
Cheaper than what?
Cheaper than if they had to go out, buy the governance token themselves, lock it, and provide direct incentives. It's an efficiency play.
So, instead of buying the entire billboard, they're just paying the delivery truck to drive past their door every day.
That's a great analogy. Exactly. They get targeted liquidity flow at a highly efficient price. And for the voter, the beauty is that the bribe is purely additive income.
Additive meaning on top of everything else.
On top of everything else. It often compounds their yield far beyond what they would have gotten just from their share of base emissions. It's the highest margin income stream in this whole ecosystem.
But, you know, additive income doesn't mean anything if it suddenly dries up. We need a way to monitor the financial health of this system, the sustainability of our yield. And that brings us to what might be the most important metric here, bribe efficiency.
This is the critical health monitor. It is non-negotiable. Bribe efficiency is calculated by dividing the emissions generated by the bribes paid.
So emissions divided by bribes, what does that ratio actually tell us?
It tells you if the protocols paying those bribes are winning or losing. It's that simple.
Okay, so let's break that down. What's a good number?
If the bribe efficiency is greater than 1.5 or 2.0, it means the protocols paying the bribes are generating more value in emissions than they're spending on the bribe itself.
So they're profitable.
They're profitable.
Yeah.
This makes the system sustainable. It means that, you know, the gravy train will likely continue.
And the red flag, the thing to watch out for.
If that ratio dips below 1, that means the protocols are overspending. They're paying, say, $1.10 in bribes just to generate $1 of emissions yield. That's not sustainable.
And what does that signal to me as a voter?
It signals that you should expect those emissions and yields to decline, probably rapidly, and you should really reconsider your governance strategy for that specific pool.
Let's use the example from the source material to make this concrete. A pool is generating 1,000 ARO tokens a week in emissions.
Right.
And that same pool receives a bribe of 500 ARO tokens that week.
So you take 1,000, you divide it by 500, and you get a bribe efficiency of 2.0.
Which is excellent.
It's fantastic. It's not only profitable for the protocol paying the bribe, but for the V token holders who voted for that pool. Well, now they earn their share of the base emissions plus the bribe payment. This leads to them earning roughly 3 times more than the passive LP who didn't participate in governance at all.
3 times more. That leverage is exactly why you can't afford to be passive in these systems. All right, so we get the mechanics. We have our key metric to watch. Let's move from theory to practice. The strategy framework. If I'm convinced I need to participate, what are my options? What are the tiers of commitment?
The sources outline 3 very clear strategies, and it mostly depends on your capital size and how hands-on you want to be.
Okay, what's strategy number 1?
Strategy 1 is the passive LP. This is for beginners, maybe people with smaller positions. You just provide liquidity, you stake your LP tokens, and you collect the base emissions and fees.
So you minimize your risk and your effort.
But you also cap your upside massively. It's the entry point.
Makes sense. Strategy 2.
Strategy 2 is the active voter. This is more for medium-sized positions, for people who want to maximize returns without, you know, excessive complexity.
And what do they do?
Here, you lock tokens to get V tokens, and you actively spend maybe 25 minutes a week analyzing and voting for the pools that currently have the highest bribe efficiency.
So you capture the full triad.
You get the emissions, the fees, and the bribes. This is where most serious medium-sized players should probably aim to be.
And then there's strategy 3. The ultimate goal for optimization, the meta governor. This sounds like where you really exert your political control.
It is. This is for large advanced positions. The meta governor locks tokens, but instead of voting for the highest bribed external pool.
Let me guess. They vote for their own pools.
They vote directly for their own liquidity pools. This self-voting creates the highest possible efficiency and a self-reinforcing yield increase. You are literally directing the protocol's rewards pipeline straight into your own wallet.
That sounds incredibly powerful, but we have to address the elephant in the room here. To get that maximum voting power, you have to lock your capital for the longest duration, often 4 years.
That is the defining trade-off. No question.
That's a massive risk.
It's huge. You are exchanging liquidity risk, the risk of having your capital locked up and completely inaccessible, for a massive magnification of your yield.
So the meta-governor has to be completely sure.
Absolutely confident in the long-term health and viability of the protocol before they initiate a multi-year lock. This is not for capital you might need next month or even next year.
With that really important caveat in place, let's look at the numbers. The potential magnification from the aerodrome example. Assume an active voter puts $20,000 into a stable pool, like with as DC.
Okay, so the setup is $20,000 capital deployed. The action. They lock a pretty modest 500 aero tokens for 2 years, which gives them 250 viewer and voting power. Then they use that power to vote for their own with as DC pool.
And the projected returns are, frankly, they're kind of eye-opening. The weekly return from all three streams is estimated at around $650.
Yep. And if you annualize that, it comes out to $33,800.
That's a 169% APY on a $20,000 position.
It is. Now, we have to reiterate what the sources say. Emissions do decline over time, so that exact number will eventually drop. It's not a permanent state. But the key takeaway is the magnification itself. By participating in governance, you have boosted the base yield by well over 100%.
Whereas if you were just a passive LP,
you might be looking at 15% or 20% APY, if you're lucky. The magnification is the game changer.
That level of return often makes people assume this has to be a second full-time job.
Mm.
Does achieving that kind of meta-governor efficiency require staring at charts 8 hours a day?
Not even close. And this is probably the most surprising and valuable piece of information in this whole deep dive. The sources provide a really granular breakdown of the time commitment, and it is minimal.
It's active management, though.
It is active management, but it's highly specific, and more importantly, it's batchable. You can do it all at once.
Okay, so what's the actual time breakdown? What am I looking at per week?
For your weekly tasks, and this includes checking the last Epoch's voting results, analyzing the bribe efficiency for your pools, adjusting your votes if a better opportunity pops up, and then collecting your rewards, all of that should take about 25 minutes total.
25 minutes a week for the potential to get a 169% APY magnification. That is an extraordinary return on time.
It's an incredible ROI on your time, yes. Then there are monthly tasks, a more comprehensive review of your overall strategy, looking for bigger shifts in the ecosystem. This should take about an hour, tops.
So the system is designed to run mostly on its own once you've set your lock.
Exactly. You're just tweaking and optimizing the inputs once a week. It's not a heavy lift.
And what about diversification? We know different vTOKEN protocols exist, Aerodrome, Velodrome, Curve. Is it smart to be in all of them?
Absolutely. Diversification is critical, not just for reducing your risk from any single protocol failing, but for maximizing your yield.
How does it maximize yield?
By participating in multiple systems like Viero and Vivello, you can engage in what the sources call incentive arbitrage. You monitor where the emissions are flowing across different chains and protocols. You see where the bribes are highest, and you can strategically move your liquid, non-locked capital to the most efficient pool at that moment.
Which brings us back one last time to sustainability. We have to monitor for risk, even if it's just a 25-minute check-in. What are the key red flags and green flags we need to look for?
The primary red flags are pretty straightforward. First, declining bribe efficiency. If that ratio starts creeping down towards 1.0 or, God forbid, below it.
Okay, number one.
Second, a continuous systemic decrease in the total emissions across the whole protocol. And third, if the native token's inflation rate starts to significantly outpace the protocol's actual revenue generation from fees.
And on the flip side, the green flags. The things that tell you your strategy is solid.
You want to see increasing or at least stable bribe efficiency. You want stable or growing total emissions. And you want to see high protocol revenue being generated from trading fees. As long as that bribe efficiency number holds strong, your meta-governor strategy is going to remain viable.
Wow. Okay. This deep dive has really shown that passive liquidity provision is it's fundamentally obsolete in the world of vTokens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's recap the three most critical takeaways for you, the listener. First, to maximize your yield, governance participation is not optional. It is mandatory.
Second, that bribe market is the ultimate yield multiplier. It often generates income that vastly exceeds your share of the base emissions. It's the highest leverage point in the entire system. You have to pay attention to it.
And third, and maybe most important, you must treat bribe efficiency as your financial co-pilot. Monitoring that ratio weekly is absolutely non-negotiable for assessing sustainability and making smart, timely moves.
And for those with the capital and the risk tolerance, self-voting is the proven, most efficient strategy.
It's hard to argue with the math.
It is. We saw that the magnification effect of governance is so profound that even in conservative scenarios, it leads to APY increases of well over 100%. And when you couple that high potential with the extremely low time commitment, just 25 minutes a week, it raises a crucial and I think provocative question that every single liquidity provider has to answer for themselves.
And what's that question?
Considering the incredible potential for magnified yield, how often should a liquidity provider rationally choose not to participate in governance?
That forces a total reassessment of risk and reward, doesn't it?
It has to.
The sources are pretty clear on how to start. They recommend you start small, lock a tiny amount of tokens just to learn the rhythm of the system, monitor the bribe efficiency over a few weights, see how the votes flow and how rewards are distributed.
Get a feel for it.
Exactly. And once you understand it, once you're comfortable, then you can scale up gradually and build your full operational meta-governor system.